Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne, and today we're going to bring you a folk tale about Anansi the Spider, the trickster from West African folklore. But first, a story from Bill Lepp, the tall tale teller from West Virginia. It's a story about, well, about swiping garden hoses. And while it's pretty outlandish, it might bring to mind thoughts for you about childhood adventures or maybe misadventures shared between you and your childhood pals. The story is called Raised on Hose Water and recorded live in the Appleseed studio. Here's Bill Lepp to tell it.
So my buddy Skeeter and I were in a water bar in New York City. You heard me. I said a water bar. This was a bar that served nothing but water. And the way we got there is, you know, we were however old we are now. I'm not saying, because you're going to be playing this for decades. And we were in New York City, and we met up with some young 20-ish, 30-ish hipster New York people. And they wanted to take us something to do something in New York that we couldn't do in our little town of Half Dollar, West Virginia. So they took us to a water bar. Now, this bar served nothing but waters from famous rivers and lakes, and you could order, kids were ordering things like heavy Norwegian fjord water with April Lake Huron ice dusted with the snows of Mount Kilimanjaro. And one kid said that he wanted a revaporated jet contrail from the wing of a 737 passing southbound over the Iberian Peninsula. And then the waitress would ask follow-up questions like left wing or right wing, because everything's political these days. And then she looked at me and she said, "What would you like?" And I thought about saying something kind of smart-alecky, but then I thought to myself, you know what, this lady, she didn't invent the water bar. She just works here. She's putting herself through school. She's a mother. She wants to be an actress on Broadway. She doesn't need me to be a smart-alec. So I said, "What would you recommend?" And she said, "Maybe you would like some revaporated Old Faithful mist." And I thought I would not. So I said, "I'm from West Virginia. Do you have any West Virginia waters?" She said, "We have water from the Green Sulphur Springs, the White Sulphur Springs, and the Berkeley Springs." Well, I didn't want sulfur water, and I've had Berkeley Springs water. So I said, "No, let me ask you this. Do you have any West Virginia geyser water?" And she said, "Sir, I don't think there are geysers in West Virginia." And I said, "Sure there are." And she said, "No, I don't think that the magma is close enough to the crust." And I thought, that is not the response that I had expected. And I said, "As a matter of fact, we do have geysers in West Virginia. It's got nothing to do with magma." I said, "Just like under the great city of New York, there's a labyrinth of subway tunnels going back and forth in every direction." I said, "Under the entire state of West Virginia, there's just a warren of coal mines. And sometimes those coal mines catch on fire, and they're really hard to put out because they have literally tons and tons of fuel to burn. And a lot of times they just seal the mine up and hope the fire goes out. They call that a coal seam fire." I said, "There have been coal seam fires going on all around the world, some of them for centuries." And I could see those kids, those young people I was with, they were trying to be polite, but their thumbs were twitching. Because they had right there in front of them what Andy Offutt Irwin calls their verification machines. And it's so much harder to lie these days, you know? You gotta throw in some facts. And I said, "No." I said, "Go ahead, search engine it." I said, "Check out Centralia, Pennsylvania. It's had a coal seam fire burning underneath of it since 1962. And boom, those kids were on their phones and they were all tickety, tickety, tickety. And finally, one of them goes, "There is such thing as coal seam fires." And another kid goes, "There has been a fire underneath Centralia, Pennsylvania since the 1960s. They were burning some rubbish at the dump, and a hole opened up in the ground, and the burning rubbish fell into a coal mine. They had to abandon the entire town." And I felt vindicated. And the waitress looked at me and said, well, they didn't say anything about West Virginia geysers. And I said, yeah, that's because they're really hard to document. I said, because what happens is we have these coal seam fires, and sometimes it rains really, really hard. And when it rains that hard, some of that water makes it all the way down to the mines, and it drips into those burning mines. And as soon as the water drips into those mines, it turns to steam. And when that steam builds up enough in those mines, you'll just get an explosion. You'll just get a geyser out in the middle of nowhere. It's not even going to happen twice, but, you know, people have seen them. And she said, well, we don't have any West Virginia geyser water. And I said, then bring me whatever you think I'd like. And she turned to Skeeter, and I could tell she didn't want to ask him what he wanted. She said, what could I get you, sir? And he said, you know what? What would you recommend? And she said, how about a nice cocktail of Loch Ness Lake Bacall water with responsibly harvested Greenland glacier ice infused with Persian rose water? And maybe Skeeter actually misunderstood her, or maybe Skeeter deliberately misunderstood her. But what he said was, hose water. He said, don't infuse it with hose water. He said, bring me a whole glass of hose water. And that poor young waitress just went white. And she said, sir, we don't serve hose water. She said, hose water is dangerous. It's got toxins, chemicals, bromine. It can mess up your livers and kidneys. And Skeeter looked at me and he said, me and this guy, we were raised on hose water. And she said, what are you talking about? And he said, well, listen, when we were like 12 years old, we had a fort off in the woods, maybe a mile. Off in the woods. We had this fort, and we, in case we robbed a bank or something, we needed to go hide out. We built it with 2x4s and a tin roof, took a couch out there. The only trouble was we didn't have any water, because this was before you could carry water conveniently. You had to have it running, or you were going to die. And so we needed a way to get water an entire mile. So we went back to our house, the Skeeter said. He said, my family had a hose, but it wasn't a mile long. But Bill's family had a hose, and we screwed the two of them together, and they still weren't a mile long. But then we only lacked about 5,180 feet of hose. And by this time, everybody in the bar was listening, because Skeeter was talking loud, but also, you know, sound travels over water. We'll edit that laugh in, because that is a good joke. So we decided what we were going to do is we would just borrow some of the neighbors' hoses. Now, operating under the principle that not everyone was going to be willing to loan us their hose for an indefinite period of time, Skeeter and I decided to borrow the hoses without asking. So we went to all of our neighbors and we borrowed their hoses, and then we had about 3/4 mile of hose. And we connected it to a spigot behind a barn in Skeeter's neighbor's yard, and we started to haul 3/4 mile of hose out into the woods. Now, it was heavy, because that's a lot of lead, and and it was July, so we were sweating, and pretty soon we were thirsty, and we finally got to the end of that 3/4 mile hose. Now, we were still 1/4 mile short, but that's better than a mile, and we thought, man, it'd be good to have a drink, and that's when we realized that we hadn't turned the hose on. So we had to walk all the way back, turn the hose on, then walk all the way back to get a drink. And after that, we resolved we were never going to forget to turn that hose on. But we didn't have like a, you know, like a nozzle to put at the end. So when we were done, we just tied in a knot like that. And it didn't slow the water completely, but it was just a trickle. But that way, we always had water. And Skeeter stopped talking. And he looked at me like it was my turn. And I thought a little scripture would be useful here. So I said, Proverbs 9:17, stolen water always tastes sweeter. And Skeeter said, especially through a stolen hose. And I said, we also had a goat out there. So we had a goat because we had a lot of bramble, a lot of like blackberry bushes, you know, a lot of thorns and stuff. And those are hard to clear unless you have a goat, because goats will eat anything. You put a goat out there, clear it in half a day. I said, we borrowed the goat at night. from Angus Fester. Angus Fester was this mean old dairy farmer in town. He loved cattle so much that he had named all of his children after different breeds of cattle. So there was Angus Jr., there was Holstein Hereford, Guernsey and Jersey. Hereford and Guernsey were the twins. Which doesn't make any sense. That's a geography joke. Look it up later. And then when Helen, his wife, finally had a daughter, she knew that Angus was going to name the poor girl after a breed of cow, so she said, at least make it sound feminine. And that's where Charlay Fester got her name. But anyway, I said, we borrowed that goat from Angus Fester, and we took him out, and he would just, you know, walk around and eat all the bramble. And then when the goat got thirsty, he'd just walk over and drink out of the hose. And those kids were like, you drank out of the same hose as a goat? And I was like, the goat didn't mind. And so I said, and then I said, one time, you know, we got done out there and we went home and we were 12. And when you're 12, what was very interesting yesterday is not interesting today. And so it might have been more than a week since we'd been out to the woods, and we were down there at the crossroads there in Half Dollar, and we were listening to an argument going on between Sheriff Hasbro, who was the law in our community. Sheriff Hasbro was the chief of police when he was 18 years old. But at that time in West Virginia, you had to be 21 to buy bullets. So his mom would have to go to the store with him to buy bullets. Eventually, he became sheriff. Wonderful, wonderful man. Sheriff Hasbro was arguing with Angus Fester. And Angus Fester was saying, Sheriff Hasbro, somebody stole my goat. And I don't think you're doing enough about it. And Sheriff Hasbro said, Fester, how am I supposed to worry about one goat when there are 380 garden hoses just gone missing? And Angus Fester said, do you think the two crimes are connected? And Sheriff Hasbro said, what would a goat have to do with 3/4 mile of garden hose? And by at that moment, Skeeter and I were kind of backing out of town. But then we heard a whistling sound coming out of the sky, you know, like a bomb. And we looked up, and a goat was descending, and it hit the ground with kind of a splat. It gets worse. And everybody turned and looked at me and Skeeter. Now, young people especially, I don't want to tell you how to live your lives, but I do want to tell you this, that if you were standing somewhere, anywhere, and a goat falls out of the sky, and everybody just assumes that you had something to do with it, you're living right. So the goat fell out of the sky, and after the autopsy, well, it didn't take long for Sheriff Hasbro to figure out what had happened. And I just stopped talking. And everybody looked at me because they wanted to know, but they didn't want to ask. And the waitress especially didn't want to ask, but then finally, magnanimously, on behalf of everyone else, she said, well, what did happen? And I said, well, okay, first of all, the goat didn't really splat. I may have underdescribed how the goat landed. I said the goat landed in such a way that an autopsy was unnecessary. Which is a fun thing to say to a bunch of New York 30-year-old vegans. I said, we could see everything that had been in the goat. And right there was about 18 inches of knotted garden hose. And so Sheriff Hasbro went and started walking through backyards, and pretty soon he came across that garden hose that was connected to the spigot in Skeeter's neighbor's yard, and he followed the 3/4 miles out. And I guess what had happened was that goat had gotten thirsty because we'd neglected him for a week, and he'd finally just chewed off the end of that garden hose so he could drink whenever he wanted. And while all that water running out of that hose had seeped down into the ground underneath a burning coal mine that was just underneath that goat, and when it exploded, it had sent that goat all the way to town. Oh. And the waitress said, well, we still don't have any West Virginia geyser water. And I said, you know what, just surprise us. She came back a few minutes later, and she handed my drink, and she handed Skeeter his drink, and he took a sip, and he said, oh, this is good. He said, is this Persian rose water? And she said, no. That's New York City public restroom dirty mop water.
Bill Lepp with Raised on Hose Water. Bill's story rang a lot of bells for me. For example, I had a pet goat when I was a kid. We called him Goaty. I drank a lot of water out of the garden hose, too, when I was a kid. And there was a certain technique to that. Our favorite way was to point the hose straight up in the air, and the water would form a kind of bubbler, and you'd suck water right off the top. It was our favorite way because that's just how the drinking fountain at the northwest corner of the city park worked. It was just a metal pipe rising up a few inches from a concrete housing, and water bubbled up vertically from it constantly. There was no handle or anything to turn the water on or off, even. It just ran all the time. And it was set in what looked like a big square roadside monument made of red stones, the kind of monument on which you might see a historical plaque. But on this monument, there was just a pipe bubbling up cool water. And there's no detail so small that once you have it in your mind, can't unlock a host of memories. That drinking fountain was the center place for trips across town to ride the gravel pit trails on our bikes or afternoons on the swings at the park, nurturing our very earliest crushes in childlike conversation, or even once a year for the whole town to gather in town-wide water fights sponsored by the fire department. And those memories are just that, memories. The experiences are long gone. But memories feed us, tell us who we are and where we came from. And bringing some of the best ones back is as simple as driving back through my hometown, driving up Main Street past the drinking fountain that's still there at the northwest corner of the city park. Or as simple as listening to a tale, however tall, from a storyteller like Bill Lepp. And that's where Bill's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along?
Simultaneously laughing, we're all agreed that we love, love, love the apple seed.
There's a lot coming up, but I wanted to take just a moment to let you know about another show from among the BYU Radio family of podcasts. The podcast is called Constant Wonder, and it's hosted by Marcus Smith. In each episode, Marcus takes you on kind of a quest to find the awe and wonder in all nature, human or wild. Not just interested in the natural world, interested in human nature as well. Marcus's guests tell fascinating stories and talk about experiences that have left them awestruck. You'll love the podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, all kinds of places to listen to Constant Wonder anytime you need a little dose of awe or wonder in your life. Constant Wonder from BYU Radio.
Some more. Okay, I'll proceed with my story inspired by the apple seed.
It's a pleasure to be with you on the apple seed, where we have one more story for you. This one featuring Anansi the spider, the trickster from West African folk stories. And just as Bill and Skeeter pilfered garden hoses in the story we heard at the top of the episode, Anansi does his share of pilfering from a miserly neighbor to teach him a lesson, of course. Donna Washington is the storyteller, bringing us Anansi and the Pot, recorded live in the Appleseed studio.
So one of my absolute favorite characters is the spider from West Africa. Does anyone know his name?
Anansi.
Anansi, of course you guys know his name. You're a story audience. So let us start with an Anansi story, a very, very simple one. It's called Anansi and the Pot. Now, Anansi lived in a village with Onini, and Onini had a great big bean pot. And they believed in this village in the philosophy of plenty. That means everyone will have enough if we share. Now, Onini never shared his bean pot. He always wanted to be the one to have the biggest parties. He always wanted to be in everyone's view. He was Onini. He would never lend out his bean pot. Anansi thought he should take him down a peg or two. And so he came over to Onini's house and he asked to borrow his bean pot. And Onini said, "Absolutely not. You can't borrow me my bean pot. I know how you are, Anansi. You'll break it." No. I just want to borrow it." "No, you can't." But Anansi is annoying. How many of you know someone that just keeps at you and at you and at you and at you? And finally, Onini couldn't take it anymore. He says, "Okay, but you have to bring it back in 2 days." Anansi said, "No problem." So that first night, Anansi has a big party. He's sharing the beans. They're having a great time. And the next day, he does not bring Onini's pot back. He brings back a little bitty pot. Onini says, "What is this?" Anansi said, "I'm sorry, but your bean pot had a baby." Now, Onini had never seen his bean pot have a baby, but now he just took it because now he has two pots. Well, Anansi brought his pot back the next couple of days. Well, about a month later, Anansi showed up at Onini's house and said, "Onini, I want to borrow your pot." And at first, Onini said, no. But Anansi just kept at him and at him and at him and at him and at him until finally Onini agreed, and Anansi took the pot. And he had a big party, and everyone came, and they were eating beans. Everyone was so happy. And the next day, Anansi did not bring his pot back. He brought back two little pots. Onini says, "What is this?" Anansi said, "Your bean pot had twins." Onini kept both pots, and then, of course, Anansi brought his bean pot back. Well, a month later, Anansi was approaching Onini's house, and Onini came out onto the porch with the bean pot. "Here you go. Do you want to borrow my bean pot?" "Yes, I do. You bring it back when you can." And Anansi took it home, and Onini waited. First time there was one, second time there was two. Maybe it'll have triplets next. Well, a few days later, there was a big funeral procession in town. Everybody was weeping and wailing, and Onini, who always has his thumb on everything that's in the town, realized he did not know who had died. He was panicked about it. He didn't want to look like he didn't know, so he put on his best clothes, and he went out and joined the procession. He was weeping and wailing with the rest of everybody. "Oh, no, oh, no." He had no idea who had died. Finally, the funeral was over, and everybody was leaving. And Onini walked up to Anansi, and he said, "Anansi, I don't know who died." "You don't know?" "No, I don't know." "It was your bean pot. Your bean pot died." Onini said, "That's ridiculous. A bean pot cannot die." Anansi said, "If it can have a baby, it can die." And he kept Onini's bean pot. And that is the story of Anansi and the pot.
Donna Washington with her story, Anansi and the Pot. What mischief might you have gotten up to with your childhood pals? Were there consequences you can remember? And as a kid, where did you find a cool drink of water on a hot day? You might have some fun stories to share. We want to thank Bill Lepp and Donna Washington for bringing us a smile today. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. The Appleseed is produced by me, Sam Payne, Wendy Folsom, Brian Tanner, and Kira Van Dam. Our audio engineer is DJ Cromarty, and the rest of the Appleseed team is Tristan Schetzel, Kay Hendricks, and Nico Wetzel. And if you like today's podcast, subscribe, rate us, leave us a review, and tell your friends. That's how the podcast grows. We also love to receive emails. Email us at theappleseed@byu.edu. That's theappleseed, all one word, @byu.edu. Your thoughts and comments help us shape the future of the Appleseed. We're pleased and proud to be among the many podcasts produced by the BYU Radio family of shows. If you want more great storytelling for the whole family, then search for our companion podcast, Kaboom,
where you'll hear original audio adventures for the whole family. You can find any episode of The Appleseed or Kaboom on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, on the BYU Radio app, or at byuradio.org. I'm Sam Payne, and we can't wait to be with you again on The Appleseed.